who is this guy? Is this some weirdo showing up out of the back of this rock and all that kind of stuff? Well, I'm a gigantic Indiana Jones fan, and I've actually been, it sounds odd because, you know, I'm a little weird. I've been planning this for about 10 years because, let me tell you why. Back, we do our Family Fall Festival every October, and 10 years ago, it's like God said, all right, we're going to make this epic conclusion, like Star Wars ending and Marvel and all this stuff. So here's a picture of Richie and I 10 years ago. You want to go to the next one? Here we go. Him at the Family Fall Fest, and we dressed up as Indiana Jones. And just then I go, wow, eventually that would be a cool illustration to be able to use, especially for Grad Sunday. And the fact that he is graduating, I cannot wrap my mind around that. That is just crazy to think about. And plus, our kids grew up with VeggieTales. Do we have any VeggieTale people out there that know? All right, so here, Minnesota Cuke. I mean, come on. This is a kind of play on the Indiana Jones thing. And I just, there's so many great illustrations and just analogies in Indiana Jones. And so we're going to try to tackle that this morning. This morning we're talking about, let's go to our title slide here. Rather than Raiders of the Lost Ark, we're believers in God's promises. And it's just simply the quest to add to our faith. Now, some of you guys may not know, all this, Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones, but do you actually know that there was somebody that was offered the part before Harrison Ford? Does anybody know who that was? Other than my wife, because I told her. Anybody? No? Not Mel Gibson. Tom Hanks? No. Tom Selleck, yes. Tom Selleck was offered the part, but he was in a show called Magnum P.I., which did not last nearly as long as Indiana Jones. So unfortunately, he couldn't get out of that. But as we see Harrison Ford play Indiana Jones, we realize, man, there is only one Indiana Jones. It's Harrison Ford. But if you look at the passage of what we're going to be talking about today, that God, there may be one Indiana Jones, but there's many believers that he wants to equip us with to be able to add to our faith. Now, I want you to, I'm going to over-communicate. This does not mean that we can in any way earn our salvation, but there's a key phrase that is a challenge that Peter gives to us to add to our faith, that we have a part in this. So what I want you to do, I want you to take out your Bible and your handout. If you're into handouts, it just, one, helps you stay focused, and because I know focus is your number one goal when you're here, right? You want to stay focused. But then also just to be able to look at the passage where we're going to be preaching from this morning, which is 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. Now, I just want to remind you, I am a pastor with a whip. So if you guys are thinking about falling asleep during the sermon, remember, there's a chance I might have to get crazy and do a little Indiana Jones action on you. So make sure, just to keep you on edge, that you might, trust me, the rock is super secure. I notice there's nobody in the front row afraid that maybe somehow the rock would. Well, I don't know, Richie wanted me to be able to come down the main aisle, but we couldn't fit it through the door. So that's why we put the rock there. But that's where we're at. So if you can, go ahead and turn to your Bible, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. But let me go ahead and pray before we do that. And just to actually prove that no Bibles were injured, I am actually using the real Bible here that was in the video. Yes, this will be on sale on eBay later on. I'll be actioning that off for you guys. So let me go ahead and pray. God, we just thank you so much for your word, and it's just so rich. And just as we see our world that they are looking for treasure and so many different things, and yet you've given everything that we need and have given us this tremendous treasure and salvation, your Holy Spirit. I just pray that your hand would just be upon our lives and helping us to not just hear the word, but to be doers. And I pray, God, if we've got stuff in our life that, one, that you already know about that we're just holding on to, or maybe there's something that we need to be taking a leap of faith this morning, that you would just, not through any word that I would say, but by the power of your word, just a demonstration of your Spirit's power to help us to be everything that you want us to be. And we just give this time to you, and we just pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Now, I would say I could just read this passage and then just walk away. I mean, it's that good, but pastors can't do that. We got to give stories and all that kind of stuff. So, but I'm just going to tell you, this is, if there's one of my top 10 passages just in terms of just having so much there that we can draw on. So let's go ahead and read that. I'm just reading from the NIV, so if you guys have a different translation, not that yours is wrong, but just is the one that's painted gold. So we got to go with that action there. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just an amazing step there. Well, I just want to try to keep it simple, to break it down to three promises that God gives us. Now, in our world, unfortunately, a promise doesn't mean much. I mean, how many of you guys ever promised to do something for your parents and then never followed through with it? Maybe even promised to do something for your boss, never followed through with it. Our word doesn't always count when we even use the word promise, but is a very strong word when it comes to God. And so I just want to start with this first promise, which is that God has given us power in the Holy Spirit to live for Him and to escape the corruption in the world. We need to make this very clear. This is not just something, well, I'm just going to try to work harder at it and try to be better. That this power that we get is from God. Now, also, I don't want to let you believe that this is like some kind of force, like in Star Wars, I can like zap people. We have this weird idea about power, but it's just the strength, the ability to overcome sin, to change our life, our heart, the way we look at things. It's an amazing thing that God has given to us. So if you look at verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. If you look at all the Indiana Jones movies, a lot of times Indy's trying to solve all these clues and figure out certain things to be able to get to certain places, and he has to do all these things because he doesn't have all the resources. Now, I want to show you one of these posters. I mean, he is not James Bond, so go to that next slide, Christian. He's not James Bond and having all the gadgets, but it's amazing, you know, the whip and the sword and the gun, and he's got all this kind of stuff, but he's still limited. And yet the resource that God gives us is unmeasurable. And it's amazing all the things that He has. And yet the answers are right there. How many of us wear glasses? Sunglasses, any type of glasses. This happens to me all the time where I put the glasses on the top of my head, right? And then I'm like, I've lost them. So I start looking around and I can't find them. I'm looking everywhere. And then notoriously somebody will go, Pat, and I'll go, oh, you got to be kidding me. They were on my head the whole time. And I think that's kind of the same message of what God is telling you. A lot of times we search in so many other places instead of God saying, everything you need is right here if you'll trust it. And in fact, I look at that differently as a parent now. I remember when my kids were little, not that I wanted them to get hurt, but it was amazing when they were very little, their first reaction, they get hurt, something goes wrong, is to go instantly to mom and dad. And it was kind of, I don't know when, maybe 3-4 years old, where all of a sudden it switched. And instead of when they got hurt, their first reaction wasn't to go to Heidi or myself, but it was like, yeah, I got this thing. And it was kind of as a parent, I was like, oh man, I want to be that person that can help them. And God's relationship with us is a lot like that. Then instead of going to God, unfortunately, we get caught up in our sin. And look at how it's explained in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 8. Paul says this. He says, but we have this treasure. And this treasure is not real gold or anything like that. But this treasure of the Holy Spirit, if we're saved and we have put our trust in what Christ done and living for Him, that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. And it's not from ourselves. We got to remember this power is something that we cannot do on our own. That we do have a part in it, but at the same time, it has got to be through God. For we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. But our faith is got to be a balancing act. A lot of times we go, okay, God, I'm just going to lay there and say, God, I need you to just do all the work in my life. It doesn't work that way. That we have a part to play, and that's what's so key about this passage. So let's turn to page 2 in our outline. The next promise we want to focus on is this. When we work with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can add to our faith tremendously. But notice the wording of our motivation and how we're to do it, what Peter says. He says, make every effort. He doesn't say when you feel like it, when it comes natural. He says make every effort, that we have a part to play. Now, as much as I appreciate Indiana Jones, I want to show you this picture. I don't ever think that Indiana Jones solved all his clues and did all his puzzles by laying in a recliner. You think that's how he... Now, I'm not against rest. I'm not against that, but wouldn't that make... Is that going to make a great cover to a poster? Like, hey, come out and just watch Indy just lay in a recliner. No. It's the same thing with us, is that we have a part to play. He had to do all the research and be able to solve all the clues, but he had to actually step out and do something. And now, but God is also very specific in what he says that we're to add to our faith. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now that seems pretty overwhelming at the time to be looking at. And the problem is sometimes we'll go, well, I'll just knock one off at a time. But God is actually calling us to do all of those things. Now, we may not all struggle with some of those at the same time, but he didn't say just pick two of the best three that you want. He says, hey, these are the very specific things about how we are to do this. We want to ask that question. Well, how do I do that? How do I add to my faith in this way? Well, it begins with the whole idea of what faith actually is. And in Indiana Jones, it's a great analogy because we can kind of get caught up in the whole idea of faith is just believing in some things and having all the right facts right. Then you have actually faith and you believe in something. But what this is going to be talking about is that our faith is proven by our deeds. And in The Last Crusades, which is the last movie of Indiana Jones, to set up the scene, we're going to actually take a look at this. A very cool thing, which he does. He's trying to go back, and he's got to save his dad, and he's got to get to the end of this, all these tunnels, and this is one of the tests that he has to face. I mean, to me, that's just one of the coolest analogies in terms of faith, that we can say, I believe all I want. And in fact, even stepping his foot out, has he really had faith at this point? No. It's not till he literally puts his weight out and fully trusts what notice what he says. It's impossible. Nobody can jump it. And yet, he's got to trust it. And in fact, that's part of salvation, is actually believing in a heaven that we have not seen. Believing in a Christ that we've never met, but yet we're trusting in what he's done. But in order to do that, you have to step out, that there's got to be action with that. And I think in James, there was this debate going on. In the second chapter of James, they were trying to balance out, well, I have faith, I have deeds, and as if like it was okay to just have one of them. And here is the way that James brought this all together. In James chapter 2, as you say, remember that faith is proven by deeds. Here's a rhetorical question. What good is, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? And the answer, of course, is no. But it's crazy how he brings it all together in verse 22. He says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. You actually need both. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And his actions are really crucial to how we do things. But remember, he says, make every effort to do this very thing. And look, let's take the analogy of marriage. Now, here's a picture of Heidi and I when we're married. You got that, Christian? All right. Wow, almost 26 years ago. Now, in any marriage ceremony, we have these vows, right? And some of them are pretty, there's some big-time commitment that we put in some of those vows. But can you imagine if, rather than doing those, I just wrote my own vows, but had phrases like this said, Heidi, I am willing to do the bare minimum. I'm willing to do just enough. I'm going to skate by to show you how much. Wouldn't that just say, yes, sign me up right now. I can't wait to marry this guy. No. That it's your actions are reaffirmed by what you say. That what you say and what you do have got to go together. And in fact, he looked at it in terms of like collecting. Do we have any collectors? People like to collect things. My grandmother... I had two grandmothers. One collected teacups and saucers, and the other collected spoons. It's as if like they should have came together and like did this thing. But like whether it's salt and pepper shakers, we got all these like. Or is that like a thing that's gone by? Do people not collect things anymore? We do. Okay. What do you collect? Dust. Wow. Nice. We all collect dust. Sorry. What do you collect? Figurines, okay. Well, we know what yours are. We got you. Well, but what I love about it is I'm not into that necessarily, but the passion that they do it with. And I just asked this question. Do we go to those extremes to add to our faith? Do we show that same kind of passion that God, man, I want to do these things. God, I need your help. Now, we're going to do something at the very end that would kind of help you understand part of what it means to be able to ask God and allow him to do the work in us. Because it's not like getting Happy Meal toys where you just go around and like just kind of pick through, all right, I'm really looking for a knowledge one and I'm coming over here and really looking for a love one. No, it doesn't work that way. But that you're taking what God's command is of doing these very things before him and saying, God, I need you to do this work in me. Well, I want to end on this last one. The last promise is we choose whether or not we will be effective and productive for Christ. Because notice I'm married to an English major, so there's a thing called an if clause, which means we like the results, we want the end results, but what the if clause means is if this happens, then this will happen. And a lot of scripture, there are those challenges. It doesn't just say, here, just get handed this stuff. This, you have your part. And then if you do those things, you're not a works theology, but we have a part in this very thing. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, for if you possess these qualities, not when or when I give them to you, for if, that means it's on us, you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to focus on two things specifically. One is guard against neglecting God's word. I look at God's word kind of like a plant. Do we have any people that are really good with plants? Where's Mai? We know Mai is awesome. I mentioned this because like ivy and these kind of things, they grow, you don't have to do any of those things. They just grow like weeds and you don't have to do anything. But if you're really a person, then what do they call those people if they're good with plants? They have a green thumb. I looked that up. It is one of the weirdest phrases. I consider myself a green hand person. I always kill plants, so I'm considering having to hand out more green because I have to keep buying more plants. I keep killing them. But I like, it's not always used in every translation, but I like this in the terms of not that you can kill God's word. But I want you to ask this question like I should be asking my own question of my own self, is do I neglect God's word? And what I mean by that, am I not spending time in it? We talked about dust. Is there dust on our Bible? But getting back to the plant analogy, if every time I open this book was like watering it, like a plant, and I kept track of that, what would your and my plant look like? Would it be blooming because, oh man, it's regularly getting water because I'm spending time in it? Or would my plant be like a lot of my real plants, dead, because we're not spending time in God's Word? And at the very first promise, he said, everything that you need is in this book. Yet many times we get busy, and I'm just as guilty. We get busy. I'm not trying to come, like I'm up here because I'm the pro and I never struggle with this. There's a great phrase that I try to hold to, but here's what it says. It said, this book, meaning the Bible, will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. Think about that. This book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. Because is this where Satan wants us to be? No, he wants us to be on the internet. He wants us to be on TV. He wants us to be totally busy and neglect this word. And even the word itself tells us that this is the only way that we're going to be able to stay away from the corruption of the world. In fact, in Psalm 119:9, it says this. And I think this is a young man, but I think this is any person. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Now, I use this analogy all the time with our kids and kids club and in youth ministry and stuff, that the only way this book is going to get into your brain is by reading it. I wish there was an app that, like, I just put the Bible on, and then all the Bible information transfers to your brain. Apple needs to get on that. Come on, Matthew, you guys are slacking, but there's a reason why God does it that way. Because it's something, when it just transfers that quickly, we don't really sift through it and really take a deep look at it. It just happens quickly. And if you think about it, that's when you're really going to gain things. When things happen quick, if that video, if I would have just put up there for 2 seconds, you're not going to get anything. It takes time to really sift through and understand what God's trying to teach you. But it's a discipline. Like these weeds, sin in our life grows naturally. But in order to do the right thing, it takes discipline. Just like your lawns, we got to fertilize it. We got to do all this stuff to make the lawn great. Oh, it's weird. Weeds. I got weeds that grow out of the gutter in my house. There's nothing. There's no fertilizer in there. And if the weeds grow naturally, that's like sin in our life. That God's word is so rich, and when we get into it, we're like, man, why am I not in this more? But that constant battle is going to be there. Well, the last one I just want to focus on is this idea of guarding against sin. Do we have any snake lovers? Do we have any people who are afraid of snakes, including Indiana Jones? Yeah. Any bugs? Like, we love cockroaches and all that. Yeah, man, people, should I not even say the word? People are, like, freaking out. Now, if I was mean, I'd, like, release them into the building and really kind of get into the whole movie thing. But Indiana Jones has this fear of snakes. And in fact, he has a great line. Whenever he there's something that comes up and he's open a tomb or whatever, and it's snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? And then there's a great scene that it is a real cobra. And for those who are like really into it, they actually had a sheet of glass in between them, but they use this real cobra when he went right up to it. But can you imagine when dealing with sin, that rather than running from it, he just kind of picked it up and like tried to pet it like an animal, like a pet kind of thing. Well, look what this challenge is in Colossians 3, 5 through 7. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. But here's the hope. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly, but there's a different way of looking at things. Now, I am not a big reader, but one famous writing by Tolstoy is called War and Peace. And if you look at this analogy, I think this is a great analogy in how we look at the spiritual realm. That before I'm a Christian, I'm really at peace with my flesh and the worldly things. But the Bible teaches, just as this verse said, that the wrath of God is coming because we're almost enemies of God. That before I'm a Christian, again, I'm at peace with the world and I'm fine with my sinful nature. But then I'm at war with God. But the moment I become this new creation and I give my life to Christ and I see things differently, the roles should change. I should literally be at peace with God, not because of anything I can do, but the way God sees it. But then from that day forward, I should be at war with my sin nature and the things of the world. Doesn't mean that I should go out and try to hate people and all that kind of stuff, but there's these natural battles that are going to happen in our life. But if we're not careful, we're going to let that snake, kind of that thing in our life, become kind of natural. And we're like, well, instead of putting it to death and wiping it out, we kind of take our sin lightly. And I want to challenge us this way. One way that we want to look at is, who are we looking to for our direction? The last analogy I want to use from Indiana Jones, we're not going to take a look at the video clip, but in the last movie, they were, which is not real, but they're looking for the cup of Christ, and it's this archaeological find, and they eventually find this cup, and they're excited to see it, but there's a woman who's a little bit more on the evil side, and she is like really wanting this cup. And what happens is they were told not to take the cup outside a certain point. Of course, they do. And then this earthquake happens, and the cup falls. And then the girl tries to go after it, and she's hanging off the cliff, and Indiana Jones, you can see the picture on the top right, is holding her. And she's like, I can almost get it, Indy. I want to get that cup. As if, like, this is a life-changing treasure. And literally, she reaches out so far that Indy can't hold her anymore, and she falls to her death. And just like the irony of the movie, then of course Indy slips and he falls and he's in the exact same spot. And he's got a decision to make. So of course then he can say, hey, I can see the cup, I've almost got it. His dad reaches out to him. And his dad has been chasing after this cup his entire life. And I can't do it well, but I actually want to invite Joel Helveston to come on up. Because there's a famous line that Indiana hears from his dad, because it's played by Sean Connery, who has a Scottish accent. And so I didn't even prep Joel, but Joel is so on cue that he's always ready. And we got to give him a mic. We can't just have him do this. We want to see, like, real preparation.
Oh, goodness.
You've been Scottish certified, so there we go.
We'll see.
All right. I know, no pressure. You can drum in front of people. You can do this line. No problem. All right, so again, I'll build it up again. Okay. So I'm Indiana Jones. I'm on the ground. He's holding on to me. I'm reaching out for the cup. And he says,
Indy, let it go.
Nice. Good job, Joel. Was that worth the price of admission right there? But I want, and not only that, come on, that was the inspiration for Frozen. What are you talking about? Let It Go came from Indiana Jones. Forget that stuff. But it's a great, yeah, sorry, I got him started. Look out. It is a great analogy. Because we're reaching out for this cup, this thing that we're holding on to, we think is going to give us so much fulfillment, and yet God is holding on to us, saying, let that thing go. But guess what? We still have a choice. Whether I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to listen to God and do what He wants me to do, or am I still going to reach for those things? And the amazing thing, just like I said before, there was only one Indiana Jones. We could meet him here, and that'd be so great. But guess what? God, by his Spirit, can minister to more than just one person. He can minister to us all. The amazing power of God is that he knows individually what each one of us are struggling with, what our doubts are, what our fears are. In fact, what are things that we need to step out and take a leap of faith in. And for you today, that leap of faith might even begin with just putting your trust in the Savior in the first place. That letting go, maybe that thing you're holding on to is thinking, man, I can be just be good enough. I love God. I think I do. But and yet, at the same time, I don't understand how much I've fallen short. And I'm not putting my trust in what Christ did for me on the cross and living for him because of what he did for me on the cross. And saying, God, I need you to help me become more like you. It's a very big word we use in the Bible. It's very short. But a word that we don't use in our culture is just simply repent, to turn from those things. But God can give us the power to do that. So here's how we're going to end our time. We just want to have a little reflection time. And that doesn't mean that we're going to look at a mirror, but I just want us to be quiet. Just like I was saying that sometimes we need to be focused and get focused, that needs to be our focus on God. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'd like you to put your Bible and everything just down. Now remember, I've got this whip, so I want you to stay awake because I'm actually going to ask you to take some time to be quiet and to close your eyes and to ask God to speak to you. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God, and I'm not trying to say that or promise that you will, but that God does speak to us. And really, the way I'm going to use this is to be able to bring these scriptures in front of us, and I want you to pray and say, God, where do I fit in this? I'm going to read to you two of the verses that we've already read, and just simply, I'm going to read them slowly, and I want you to ask this question as we go, is God, is this something that I need to give you control? Or is this something that I need help with? Or is this, I'm trying to add to my faith, but this is the one that I'm really struggling in, and I need your help to be able to do that. And then the last one I'm going to read is this Colossians passage again. And to ask this question, God, looking at Psalm 139, 23 through 24, it says this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." That you're literally asking God, I want you to show me those areas that I'm struggling in. We can get tunnel vision. We think, oh man, I kind of know where I'm going. And all of a sudden God might show me, hey, I'm sensing that you're struggling in this area. And I'm not saying that we don't always know what those things are, but sometimes God might even show you something new that you might thought, man, I thought I had that all together. But God's saying, no, I see it from a different way. So here's again what I want you to do. Just to be quiet, I want you to put everything down. Even you doodlers need to put that stuff down. And just to be quiet. And then simply, I'm going to read those two passages to you slow. And I want you, as I'm reading them to you, I want you to ask God, do any of these things jump out to me? And then I'm going to give you a time, just a minute, to just pray and give that over to God and say, God, help me in these areas. So let's do that. So again, why don't you just take a second just to pray and say, just ask God to teach me something, to show me something. Second Peter 1, 5 through 7. It says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith knowledge. Add to your faith self-control. Add to your faith perseverance. Add to your faith godliness. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. And add to your faith love. Again, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Colossians 3, 5 through 7. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Just take a minute just to pray to God, and just maybe God's shown you something that He searched your heart and He saw something that you need to deal with, or give control to Him, to let it go and give that thing to God. Well, keep your eyes closed. Maybe you're this person today that maybe you've never put your trust in Christ for salvation. Maybe you're still kind of checking this God thing out and you still have questions. That's okay. But maybe today, if you want to be sure to put your confidence in what Christ did for you on the cross, I just want to share a simple prayer with you. First of all, it just begins with just admitting to God that you're a sinner, that we all fall short, we lie, we're jealous, that we commit sin, and that because we sin, we can't go before a holy God, that God is perfect. God, that I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And I just want forgiveness. I want to be clean. And God, I thank you for what you did by sending Jesus to come die on the cross for me. And just like Indiana Jones stepped out and put his full trust, I want to put my trust in what the Savior did and what Jesus did. Not that he didn't only die, but he came back to life, that he's God. And that he opened the door to be able to send us the Holy Spirit to come into our life and to help us to become more like him. You may not have everything figured out right now, but that right there is enough to begin an amazing journey. God, just also, I just pray that you'd help us wherever we're at, that we would not neglect your word, that we guard against sin. And we'd always remember that you've given us everything we need in your word. Thank you again for this time. And just look forward to seeing what you're going to do through it. And we just pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to talk more with you. It doesn't mean that you're going to have all your questions answered, but I would love to do that. I know Pastor Ron would as well. Feel free to come up after the service or give us a call during the week. We'd love to be able to meet up with you and just help you how you can grow in your walk with God. All right, we're going to turn it over to our announcement time. Pastor Ron's going to come on up and share what's going on in the life of the church.